Good morning. This is Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Philip Baker in today, Farm Bureau agent.
Farm Bureau agent?
Agent.
Yeah, great. Good to be with you.
Thanks for being here today. So you are at the Farm Bureau on Willow. I was just kind of asking if there's, how do you define which Farm Bureau, place you go to? I'm sure people drive to the wrong place all the time.
That happens fairly often. We try to prevent that from happening, but we do have four locations here in Putnam County, one in Allgood, one in Monterey. Those are kind of easy to try to differentiate between, and then one on East Veterans Drive by Walmart. That's kind of the landmark, and then the office that I'm in on Willow Avenue.
So how long have you been doing insurance?
So I came to Cookeville in 1986 to study at Tennessee Tech to become a high school agriculture teacher.
Okay.
And so near the end of that career, I began to kind of think about, or end of my school career, began to think about kind of long term. And so our Farm Bureau agent growing up was a very close family friend and someone I had a tremendous amount of respect for. And he serviced our family's insurance needs for 30 plus years. And so I began to kind of think about him and the kind of gentleman I knew he was, and I became interested in maybe having a conversation with Farm Bureau, and the rest, as they say, is history. So that was in 1991, and so just finished 33 years with Farm Bureau.
Wow, that's quite the career.
It's been a lot of fun. It's I grew up on a dairy farm, and through high school and college, I changed tires at my uncle's tire store. And I have been in the insurance business for 30 years. So there are three things I know how to do.
So what kind of insurance? When you think of insurance, the gamut is huge of when people say insurance.
Sure.
So what kind of insurance does Farm Bureau provide?
So when you think about Farm Bureau, most people typically think auto, home, life, health. We write a lot of health insurance.
Oh.
And we do commercial insurance as well. I guess you might say our bread and butter, the thing that we have done well for so long has been auto, home, life, and health insurance also. And
One of the things for me personally with insurance is like, I just don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about, I remember when I was 24 and I had left the state of Michigan and my dad said, you have to get your own car insurance. Mm-hmm. And I just cried and cried and cried. And I was like, that's overwhelming.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know, you know, what is no fault and collision and, you know, how much do I need on my pot? Like, it's scary and overwhelming. And so, and things you don't want to think about sometimes.
That's true.
How do you take that fear and that scariness out of the process?
Sure. You know, for me, I think, I planned on being an educator. And so in the field of insurance, most people don't know to your point, most people don't, you know, they don't wake up in the morning thinking about what level of liability protection they have on their auto insurance, or what their deductibles are, or what kind of home insurance policy they need. And so that's our job as professionals. And so part of that is educating the consumer. And so when we sit down with folks, we try to put it in terms that they understand, and make it easy to understand and make it relatable. In the industry, of course, over the last number of years now, with the advent of the internet, of course, you know, a lot of people like to just do business online. And I think where we really add value is establishing that personal connection. And it may be that we're just maybe developing a relationship now, you know, over the phone, or by text, or by email.
Yeah.
But we still see a real role or real value in helping people understand their coverage and to be able to understand and appreciate maybe the level of protection they have or the amount of coverage they have. And to your point, none of us leave for work in the morning thinking this is the day we're going to have an automobile accident.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like to accept our mortality. Mm-hmm. That's human.
Mm-hmm.
And so no one ever thinks, hey, this might be the, you know, this might be the last year I'm here on this earth. And so most people don't wake up in the morning and think, oh, I need to go get life insurance.
Yeah.
You know, so our job is to help people to poke and prod and help people kind of consider those possibilities. And, you know, when we have done our job well, we have a client with a comprehensive plan that covers their bases, that protects them, that provides for, you know, uneventful, untimely accident or Premature death, unfortunately, in some situations. And so it's a lot of fun to work with our clients to help them appreciate and understand and just know
take
what they have.
The fear out of everything.
Exactly.
Well, and not that everybody should do this, but there was an ice storm a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And everything was shut down the next day. I had a huge tree that came down. It came down over my neighbor's driveway. And I sent you a Facebook message, during that of just like, hey, is this something that's going to, should I file a claim? Should I not? Because you don't think about your insurance until you're at the point where you need
it. That's true. And so when those times come, we like to think,
That everybody should send Philip a Facebook message.
To your point, I think one of the things that we kind of pride ourselves on is we are very accessible. And so people do reach out to us, via Facebook or DM
at a restaurant when they're here.
Absolutely. Or,
you're kind of famous in town.
Well,
people know who you are.
A lot of folks have my cell number, and all of our agents are, freely give out their cell number. And, mm-hmm. So we get calls and texts run into folks at church, at restaurants, mm-hmm. and that's part of serving and part of what we do.
So tell me a little bit more about the history of Farm Bureau. I know that there's events that Farm Bureau does, and where does this fit in? When my kids first said, we saw Wade Wheaton over at the farm thing at the Ag Center, mm-hmm. It's like, what? How does that all fit together?
So going back to 1921, Farm Bureau began as an organization to bring together farmers around issues that were important to rural America. So there were some issues in rural America that were very important to farmers in 1921 that merited bringing farmers together to kind of advocate, lobby for these issues. The first one, interestingly, was electrification. And so one of the first, issues that Farm Bureau tackled back in the day was getting electricity to rural America. Past that, one of the other issues that we dealt with back in the day was that there were many large insurance companies in the nation back then, but they were not willing to go into rural America to write insurance. And so fire insurance in rural America was a big challenge. So Farm Bureau is a membership organization, and that organization began in 1921. And it began not around the issue of insurance, but other issues that were important to rural America back in that day. The first one was rural electrification. And so Farm Bureau, actually, the first issue that was championed by Farm Bureau was this issue of getting electricity to rural America. Beyond that, there were insurance companies in the country, obviously, but they weren't willing to go into rural America to write insurance. So they wanted to write insurance in New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, et cetera. And so there was a need for fire insurance in rural America. And so this membership organization that had started of farmers put their resources together and began starting insurance companies around the country and from state to state to state. So in 1921 in Tennessee, Farm Bureau began. And one of the things we did early was to begin an insurance company. And today that has grown to be the largest insurance company in Tennessee.
Headquarters is here in Tennessee.
In Columbia. We've always been headquartered in Columbia. And so Tennessee headquarters, we have an office, at least one office in every county in Tennessee. We have four here in Putnam, of course. And as I say, you can almost hit a Farm Bureau office with a rock in any county you're in.
That's crazy to be. What are there 90 some
95 counties?
95 counties, and was that part of their Farm Bureau's goal is to make sure that they're really serving Tennessee the
Correct.
Best they can.
Correct. So anywhere you go in Tennessee, you're going to find a Farm Bureau, and so Farm Bureau is a membership organization, and one of the membership. Benefits that we have is the insurance that we provide to our Farm Bureau members. So to be a Farm Bureau insured, you must first be a Farm Bureau member. And so insurance is one of the things that we do. The other piece that some people understand, certainly if you've had a first grader in Putnam County in the last 30 years, you know about Farm Day, and that's part of the education and advocacy piece that we do, and that is educating our next generation about the importance of agriculture. And so every April, we bring all of the first graders, public and private schools, from Putnam and Jackson County to Hyder Berks, and we do a day-long educational field trip about agriculture, A to Z.
So if you're not a farm, I'm not a farm girl, would I not be the best Farm Bureau agent if I was looking into insurance then? Do you really need to have this passion for farming? And
So most of our agents have some background in agriculture, or at least an appreciation. Now, of the 9 agents we have here in Putnam County, as I think through that list in my mind, practically everyone has some level of experience in agriculture, some more than others, but certainly everyone has an appreciation for agriculture.
Well, and I would imagine it just kind of rubs off on the company culture, even if you're like, oh, well, I like the values of this company that I want to work for, but I'm not as much of a get my boots dirty kind of girl, but you know, I think it would rub off.
So in America, only about 2% of our American population, 320 million people, only about really 1.5 to 2% of the population actually is on the farm in production agriculture. And so our client base is predominantly non-ag clients, but we are rooted in agriculture, and certainly there's a culture there that appreciates, values, and understands agriculture, for sure.
I can imagine that's really important to kind of just have an appreciation of that. So tell me a little bit more about that Ag Day, the Farm Day.
So the Farm Day event, so we take about 500 students each day, and we rotate them through about 27, 28, I think, learning stations, and they learn about production, they learn about dairy, beef, they learn about plants, they learn about processing, and really we cover the whole spectrum of agriculture, practically A to Z. And so understanding, of course, that, you know, 98.5% of the population doesn't live on a farm. So that means that most of these first grade students who are coming to be with us that day, many of them may just think their milk comes from the grocery store.
Oh, I'm sure.
And don't have an understanding beyond that. And of course, those folks, those children are going to grow up to be adults. And so we want to begin early introducing them to the idea that, you know, behind that food at their local grocery store, there is, you know, a critically important industry necessary for the survival of, you know,
mankind. And to have some respect for, you know, what you're putting in your body and where it's coming from.
Absolutely.
You know, have some respect for the farming community.
Sure.
We'll be right back. Welcome back. I am Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Philip Baker from Farm Bureau in today. So Farm Bureau does education and advocacy and you know, kind of roots for the small farmers, but or maybe big farmers,
sure,
too. But, you know, at the core of it is an insurance company. And so you have 4 main types of insurance. Mm-hmm. And so let's go through those a little bit. So tell me about home insurance and what that looks like, why it's important.
Sure. So with home insurance, of course, you know, we typically think about, okay, we own our home. And so, you know, we've got a home, a structure there, but we also have the stuff inside of it, our personal property. And so it's important to understand that we've got adequate coverage for not just the structure, so that if something were to happen to it, it was destroyed, fire, tornado, et cetera, we've got enough coverage to build the structure back. But we also want to be sure we've got enough coverage on the contents of that home to be sure we're restored there as well. And there's always the possibility that somebody could potentially maybe slip and fall at our house, or our very, very friendly dog, you know, has a little fit and bites someone, mm-hmm, or someone gets injured in our pool. And so there's liability coverage that comes along with that. And of course, not everyone owns their own home. And so for those who rent, we need to have renter's insurance. And unfortunately, most renters, it's been our experience, do not. And that's unfortunate, because you just never know what's going on just on the other side of the wall beside of you, and what potentially could be going on there that could adversely affect you. And so your home, of course, is your largest single asset. And so it is worth the effort to be sure that it's adequately covered with the right protection, the right amount of protection. And so that's important to us.
Legally, you have to have homeowner's insurance if you're paying a mortgage. Is that correct?
So if you're going to have a mortgage, obviously the mortgage is going to require you to have insurance. And even without a mortgage,
You should.
You should.
You still should, just for your own protection.
Correct.
But it's not legally required.
Correct.
Or in the renter situation. I didn't even know of renter's insurance when I was young and just first renting. It was like, oh, okay, well, this is something.
Yeah, and the thing about renter's insurance people don't consider is that a renter's policy comes with what's called loss of use coverage. And so what if the apartment building catches on fire and is uninhabitable? Where are you going to live for the next month or 6 weeks or 2 weeks? And so your renter's insurance policy provides for that. That's another reason it's important.
Which is probably kind of moving along to auto insurance. When you have an auto issue, having a rental car, you know, if you're out of your car for a month or something like, you know, something like that.
So for all of us, our greatest risk is not that our home's going to burn down, although that is a risk, but our greatest risk is that we're going to cause an automobile accident or be involved, I should say, in an automobile accident. folks out there every day, you know, it looks like about half of them are on their phones. And so the risk of having an accident is great. And so when that occurs, you know, having the right amount of coverage, the right type of coverage. So, you know, new automobile, newer automobile, you know, more significant in value, certainly full coverage, older automobile, maybe that extra truck that we don't drive very often. Maybe that's just going to be liability only. But being sure that we have an adequate amount of liability protection on that policy is critically important. So if you are trying to cut corners and you go buy your coverage online or over the phone, you're probably going to buy a policy that has an inadequate level of protection. And the cost is nominal to step up that protection to be sure you're adequately covered.
So what you find is that people, they get in an accident, their car's totaled, and then they don't get enough to purchase a new car? Is that kind of...
Well, or they cause someone else to have an accident, so you're responsible for it, but your policy, your protection on your policy isn't adequate enough to cover the cost of paying for their car or potentially paying for their injuries. And so at the end of the day, when the dust settles on that accident, somebody's going to pay that hospital bill. Somebody's going to pay for, you know, somebody's going to buy a new car, but they're going to come back to the responsible party. And so when you've got an adequate level of protection, you can go to bed that night knowing that, okay, I'm not going to have to worry about that other person's hospital bill.
So what could happen is if you're underinsured, you cause an accident, somebody's in the hospital, and then you're paying thousands and thousands.
Potentially.
Tens of thousands of dollars.
So the way that happens just kind of logically is I cause you to have an accident. You go to the hospital, you've got substantial injuries, but you've got health insurance. So at the end of the day, your health insurance obviously will take care of your medical bills, but you can rest assured that health insurance company is going to look back to the person who caused that accident. They're going to look back to me or my auto insurance to reimburse them for what they've been out.
Well, and let me just say that there's always something you pay with even health insurance. Your health insurance covers something, and there's also, you know, there's over... You're always paying something. So,
so having an adequate amount of protection on your automobile insurance is so extremely important, just because of the risk of having an auto accident.
And as home insurance with a mortgage, you have to have car insurance in the state of Tennessee. Is that correct?
Basically,
because there's some states it goes.
Yeah. So insurance in Tennessee isn't compulsory as it is in some states, but for all practical purposes, yes. When you get pulled over, they're going to ask for proof of insurance. And, you know, there's some, for all practical purposes, yes, in Tennessee, you need and have to have auto insurance.
Well, and I'm going to throw myself under the bus here and say I had some health issues and I had my insurance lapse. I got all the information from y'all, but I just missed it and I got pulled over. They asked for proof of insurance and I was so thankful that I had gotten pulled over and I realized it was lapsed because it is a scary thing to not have adequate insurance.
Life gets busy.
It does.
And stuff happens. And so, you know, when those kind of things occur, we just
Well, and
we
I called work. You up and I said, oh my gosh, please help me.
We just work it out.
It was, well, and you know, and but that's the beauty with working with an agent that you know, because I could call you up and you know who I am. You know that wouldn't necessarily be who I, you know, to let my insurance lapse.
Sure.
And so we were able to work it out because you could call and kind of vouch on my behalf. And so I do think that is the beauty with not just going online, because
Well, thank you.
You know, being online, no one's going to care who I am. I'm just an account number to them. And so I think that's locally It was weird when I moved to Tennessee how much, like, I could see my doctor in places, and I could, you know, go to church with an insurance agent, and, you know, all those things that I grew up in a bigger town, and so I wasn't used to that.
To those close relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the beauty of it. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit more about life insurance.
So life insurance is so critically important, and unfortunately, most people are underinsured, or unfortunately, many people, uninsured. And, of course, that's part of just the willingness to face our own mortality, and the fact that most people, especially men, it seems, are not willing to face the fact that, hey, you know, things happen and people die prematurely, and so leaving behind a spouse with a mortgage and with children to raise, you know, that creates a need. And so when you buy life insurance, what you are really insuring is your income, so that if you're not here, your income continues. And so I have a personal story in that regards, and my wife has allowed me to share this with her permission, but she was previously married, and her late husband, Matt, died in an automobile accident. But Matt had done everything right. And I didn't have the pleasure of knowing him, but I know he loved his family because he provided for them so that she could stay home with the girls, who were 6 and 4 at the time. She could purchase a home and pay for that home and not have the stress of a mortgage payment. And so those are the kind of situations, while we hate to see them, we love seeing when someone gets it right and they provide for their family even if they are not here.
Well, and I, even when my kids were young and I was a stay-at-home mom, I thought, well, I don't need any life insurance because I don't have any income coming in. But then when we talked about it, having, if something happened to me, the pressure of what their dad would need for our family household at the time when the girls were young, there was a need for that, you know, even to replace me.
And most people are very, very surprised at how inexpensive life insurance is. Yeah. So we give people a price on some coverage, and you can just hear it in their voice or see it in their face. They are shocked at how inexpensive, especially for a young couple.
We're going to talk about health insurance right when we get back. Thanks for sticking with us. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Philip Baker in from Farm Bureau on Willow Road. Willow Avenue? No.
Willow Avenue, sure.
Is it Willow Avenue?
Willow Avenue, South Willow Avenue.
Goodness. Okay. You would know the address for your location. So we were talking about the 4 types of insurance that you provide. Tell me a little bit about health insurance as well.
Yeah. So we provide health insurance, and a lot of folks come to us for their health insurance needs because they're either self-employed and they need to find coverage out in the market, you know, on their own. Or a lot of folks, maybe the spouse is covered through their employer, but it's so expensive to add their spouse and children that they find it cheaper to come to Farm Bureau to get their health insurance there. And so we provide under 65 plans, and so that's the health insurance that you or I might have. And then, of course, Medicare supplements for those who are over 65. And so so that's a really large market for us. There's no way to sugarcoat it. Health insurance is expensive, and it seemingly is continuing to get even more expensive. And I would love to tell folks that we see an end in sight for those increases, but unfortunately, that's just not the case.
Yeah. So you mentioned a membership, that Farm Bureau is a membership-based organization, but that to me sounds like a little bit scary sometimes. But what's the membership?
So the membership cost is nominal. It's $30 a year, and so with that, there are, because when you do the math, 1 out of every 3 Tennesseans, 3 or 4 Tennesseans, I forget the math exactly, but a lot of folks in Tennessee are Farm Bureau members. And so there are lots of companies who like to get their products in front of us. So with that Farm Bureau membership comes a tremendous amount of discounts, and those discounts could be on Ford trucks. It could be on John Deere tractors or equipment. It could be on hotel stays, rental cars. And so there are some discounts that come along with that membership that, if you utilize them, certainly very quickly takes care of that cost.
And I think at least when I've searched, it is the lower cost with higher customer service experience.
So when you look at our retention rate, is well above the industry average, in the 98% range. And so most people continue to renew their coverage. Mm-hmm. And I tell folks, you know, we're not the cheapest game in town, but when you look at the service we provide, we're going to have a reasonable price with outstanding service that will be very hard to be beat.
Yeah. So you came here in the late 80s, early 90s, decided you were going to be an ag teacher, decided to do insurance. Why stay here in this community?
Sure. So Cookeville.
And 33 years later, you're still here.
Yeah. So Cookeville, and you know, Tiffany, you're involved in the community and you're an asset to this community. Cookeville is a special place. I was on a plane. My wife and I were on a plane to Seattle about a month ago. No, it was in June. And so there is a couple sitting in front of us, and they're telling the third person in their seatmate that they live in the best-kept secret in the South in this little town called Cookeville, Tennessee.
Oh, my goodness.
And so they go on to tell this guy about all of the qualities and the attributes of Cookeville that you and I know, you know, quality of life, you know, friendly folks. Yeah. And it was this commercial. They were giving this guy this commercial for Cookeville. We met them as we were getting off the plane. But it's just a good place to live. It's a good place to be from.
Did you know the people?
No. Okay. We made some mutual connections.
Yeah, of course.
And so it's a good place to move to, as we have seen a lot of folks do. Quality of life. We've got a great education system. We have sound local government. We have natural beauty. For those folks who love to get outdoors and do things outdoors, obviously we can't be beat in the area.
Well, and I think just there's so many community events and things that places where you wouldn't think, just like Farm Day, it's these Farm Bureau agents that care about educating our youth. So it's like, okay, we're going to put on this event for the whole entire county. I think those are the things we have, you know, cooking on the square as an event.
Yeah.
And all these just ways for people to connect with that just work because so many people have a caring heart for this community.
So many community-minded people in this area.
I feel like it's almost like, do you care about the community? Oh, you don't care. You can't move in here. Like, or well, we're gonna convert you.
Yeah. Well, and like cooking on the square. You know, this event held on the square one for a few hours. Mm-hmm. You know, one Saturday and Friday in October raises.
She said $150,000 this year.
Yeah. I mean, how crazy is that?
I know. Well, and I was actually thinking about that event specifically, and I thought, who was sitting around, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, like, okay, everybody's going to make their own sort of, you know, gumbo kind of thing. We're going to just, people are going to walk around and eat out of a bowl while they walk around the square.
And like, we're going to raise $150,000, which has been a long time coming, obviously.
Yes.
But, you know, that's just one example. My wife loves to go to the Art Prowl.
Mm-hmm.
And now she won't take me because I talk to too many people and I slow her down. But, you know, cooking on the square, the Art Prowl.
Made Here Market's another one that's downtown on Cedar. It's just, I think it's a really great place. And what you're doing, as an insurance agent, your relationships are important.
Absolutely.
And so being connected, being involved in your church, it's not just, this isn't just a business mission of why you do the things you do.
It's relationships. Mm-hmm. It really is. And, you know, these folks that we work with, they're not customers, they're clients that we have a relationship with. Mm-hmm. And it's more than just transactional.
Mm-hmm.
And because these are the folks we're going to church with, we're seeing their kids in school. We're coaching their kids in ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're interacting with them when we're shopping, when we're out to eat. And so, you know, we are part of the fabric of this community, and that involves not just benefiting from what this community has to offer, but it also obligates us to give back and to be committed to the success of our community.
So what if I'm listening, you know, I'm driving to work this morning and I'm hearing this interview and I'm thinking, well, I really haven't thought much about my insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I have home insurance. I have no idea if I'm underinsured, overinsured. I have no idea anything. Or even I'm thinking about all my insurance. I don't know about any, you know, I or maybe I'm newly widowed or something like that. And it's like, so what would be the first steps?
So just calling us. And if you live in Monterey, we've got an office up there in the Augut area, an office there in Cookeville or Baxter. We've got two offices that serve the Cookeville and the sort of the west end of the county. And so I'm at the office on South Willow, but we've got outstanding agents at all four of our offices. And so, you know, my phone number is 432-1571. You could just do a quick Google on your phone and find a Farm Bureau near you. And any of our folks would be happy to sit down with you and
so
have a conversation.
So can they come up and say, hey, let's just talk about my insurance.
Absolutely.
I don't even know really what I'm supposed to be doing here.
Most people don't. Most people don't. So they come in and they say, here's what I've got. Here's my stuff. Can you help me?
Yeah.
And oftentimes, you know, there are lots of great companies out there. And I have lots of really good friends who are agents with other companies here in town. And sometimes we tell folks, you're better off to stay where you are. But oftentimes we are able to help people and put them in a better position.
Well, and how often would you recommend kind of having that check of, you know, because even life insurance, your life changes.
Absolutely.
Your life circumstances change. If you, you know, don't have life insurance before you're married, you get married,
sure.
You have the kids, or maybe then the kids are off on their own, and so you don't maybe need as much or mm-hmm. whatnot. How often do you recommend?
So ideally, you should be having a conversation with your insurance agent every 2 to 3 years. Perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And there are seasons of life where the changes come a little bit more quickly, but every 2 to 3 years is reasonable. What we find is somebody comes in and we look in the file and we had that last conversation like 8 years ago, but it seemed like yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But 2 to 3 years is reasonable. But there are key things. There are typically three or four things in life that happen that prompt us to look at our insurance. We graduate from school, we go into our first profession, or we get married, we have children, we buy a home. Those are key life events that should prompt us to consider our insurance. Some of those key life events means that life gets really crazy, and so that's why sometimes you need us to kind of prompt you and to call you or text you and say, hey, we haven't talked in a while. Can we get together or have a conversation?
Well, and my home insurance, I haven't even thought about it since I bought my home when I first, you know.
Yeah, it's sort of out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I assume it's good, but, you know, it's probably not a bad idea to sit down every now and
sure.
then and just make sure it's what it needs to be.
Exactly. And most home insurance policies are indexed for inflation, so it is increasing a little bit each year. But to your point, absolutely.
This community... And I don't know if housing costs, mm-hmm. the market, does that affect your insurance?
It does. And certainly you don't want to be caught underinsured. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with the pandemic and the tornado both hitting at the same time, you know, what we saw here in this area and this region were increasing cost in construction that really, really dictated that folks take a good look at their policy and be sure they're adequately covered. And so, you know, we're a few years out now from the tornado and the pandemic.
And I'm guessing most people did not take a look at their policy, homeowners policies at that time.
When that tornado occurred, that really hit so close to home for so many folks that really prompted a lot of conversations at that time.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So how can people find you, aside from Googling,
sure.
just Farm Bureau, but how can people get a hold of you if they...
So I'm at Farm Bureau on South Willow Avenue, and we've got a great staff there, and we've got great agents, including, you know, me.
And Wade and Barry over there.
No one else is available. Maybe, you know, they'll reach down to the bottom of the bucket and grab me. But on South Willow Avenue, and certainly you can find us on Facebook online. Our phone number at my office is 432-1571. If you're closer to one of our other locations, you want to reach out. You're going to find a friendly face and a helpful agent and a customer service rep at any of our locations.
Well, and maybe even just looking at the list and kind of figuring out, hey, oh yeah, I know this person.
Yeah,
I feel like in this community, it is a secret special community,
mm-hmm.
but you know so many people are so
absolutely,
well connected.
Yeah.
And you've seen them whether it's at Farm Day or you've seen them at church or other events or volunteering or Rotary or what, you know, there's a lot of different ways that
exactly.
you can connect with people.
Exactly.
So just kind of Googling Farm Bureau and finding out what agents are in Putnam County.
Yeah, and so, and to your point, I mean, all of our agents are very involved. They're all involved in their church, in their community. They're coaching teams and they're, you know, they're at soccer games at the Y on Saturday morning. morning. Mm-hmm. And so it's pretty easy to look around and find a Farm Bureau agent in this community.
Thank you so much, Philip, for being here. And I hope that people learn something about their insurance and are going to take a good look at it and make sure they're insured with the proper coverage.
Well, thank you for having me.